Women's Shir in Derech Hashem, Sunday afternoon, the ninth Shir of Winter Toshanayim Tes, Yom Aleph Chistodos, November 4th, Kav Vav Mar Cheshvan, we're in section 4, in the middle of Perek Beis, and we're up to paragraph 4.
Okay, so we're learning Shekhayat Dalet. Fourth section talks about the inner meanings and hashpa'os of all things. We're in the second paragraph, which talks about Talmud Torah, which is a class of it by itself. The future program will talk about other mitzvahs, other mitzvahs, the already classified mitzvahs as constant mitzvahs, periodic mitzvahs, situational mitzvahs, and all of the classifications. The class by itself, as categorized it, the first parak is Talmud and there's Ma'aseh. Now, Talmud's also a Maisa Mitzvah, but as I say, it's in a by itself. So in the first paragraph, he describes the first and second and fourth paragraph. He talked about, but it is important to know that he talked about two aspects, two, being the words, this is the words of Hashem, this is the words of which Hashem made the Bria with, this is how Hashem represents himself to us in this world. And therefore, reading the world which he calls Higayon is also meaningful and will have an effect on you, although obviously not as powerful an effect as what he calls Haskalah, understanding. And there's many levels of understanding, obviously. There's understanding on a superficial level, understanding what the words mean, understanding what the sentence means, understanding the Inyan, having a grasp and an insight into whatever area in Torah it is. So there's different levels of Haskalah, and then there's, well, again, Higayon, which is, one might be surprised to hear it, but the Ramchal holds that Higayon is meaningful also. Higayon just means reading the words. So we maybe would understand it more in Torah Shebiksav. The question is, if in Torah Shebaal Peh, what would be the, why would that have meaning? But we'll see. Maybe we'll see. Paragraph Dalet. V'omnom zulas zosa hadraga animsas l'gabul ishtadlus b'nei ha'odam ba kishiguro ho'amiti. Besides what he talked about till now, that the degree to which you struggle to understand, and the degree to which you do understand, the depth to which you understand, how deeply you understand, how many, you know, you always, like in any discipline, you can understand it more and more and more, but here you're dealing with Torah, with Hashem. But besides that, besides the different levels that are created of Hashpa, and you must be on yourself and on the whole world, besides those different levels of Hashpa, which is based on your degree of understanding, Od Nimtzaba Hadraga, there's also levels, V'chiluk, L'fimash Hatzorech, L'sakim B'klal Habriya. What he's going to say here is that it's just a question of learning Torah and understanding Torah. It's probably a Chumash Bereishis, first Pasuk, and spend your whole life studying the first Pasuk and learning all the Mepharshim on the Pasuk and learning all the Midrashim on the Pasuk and learning the Netziv and the Malbim and the Barbanel and the Sisei Chachamim and all the Maral, the Berariyeh, and it's limitless. Every, any part of Torah is limitless. And, but besides focusing on
one pasuk, or even let's say one chumash, chumash bereishis. But he's saying, since one of the tasks that we're tasked with is being masake and bringing shleimus to the world through learning, bringing shleimus to the world through, again, you bring a certain degree of shleimus is brought to the world through every mitzvah. But every mitzvah is local. You bring shleimus to this part of the world and that part through doing lulav, or sukkah, or challah, or mezuzah, or kriyashma. But learning is more, learning, you want to encompass everything. So since Lufimashat Tzorech Lusakim Boklal Habriya Hacha Enchelik Mimeno Shelo Yisukan Al Yodo V'Yushlam Chelik V'Chelke Klal Habriya, so you want to study Kol HaTorah Kula. That's going to be his point here, that it's not enough to just delve into and study one area in Torah, or part of Torah, which, you know, most people, most men, let's say, even if they learned their whole lives now, it's very difficult to cover Kol HaTorah Kula in any meaningful sense. Maybe there are yechidim that do that, but, you know, regular. That was one of the accomplishments of Tafiomi, Meir Shapiro, which, you know, not that long ago, what is it, let's say 100 years ago, was that this way the person who is learning on a very, very elementary level, but will cover the gamut of Torah, or at least Torah, Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is pretty much as close, I mean, there's more, of course, there's Midrashim, and there's Zohar, and there's all sort of, but Talmud Bavli is pretty good. And he said that was one of his purposes, that people should have a chance to learn the whole scope of Torah. I advise people to learn Mishnayos. So Mishnayos is very, very doable, and it covers everything the Talmud Bavli covers. It covers the whole gamut of Torah Shabbat Peh, basically. Six Siddur Mishnayos, Rohim, Moed, Noshim, Nuzikim, Kachim, Tyrus. And it's bite-sized pieces. You can learn a Mishnah a day, two missions a day, come on a parak a day. If you learn two prakim a day, you'll finish the whole Shisha Sidre Mishnah every 18 months, which is not a long time, it's a year and a half. Two prakim a day, not two mishnayos a day, two prakim a day, and 7 days a week. So if you do two prakim a day, and the famous there, many of Rabbi Shafinson, for example, it's known for up to 30 prakim, 18 prakim a day, and finished every 30 days. Okay, you know, the truth is once you do it many times, it goes quickly. But again, we're learning with Haskalah, not just with Higayon, so you have to be careful about that also. But Mishnayos really is a more doable project. Tafiomi is also, I mean, that was one of Rami Shapiro's purposes, but the question is, you know, you go to a shir once a day for an hour, and you never really review it. How much do you retain, and does that really, maybe you don't really understand all of it, maybe you don't retain all of it. Okay, you know, that's up to each individual, but I feel Mishnayos is covers the whole Torah, and at least this area of Torah. I mean, the Torah Shabbal Peh is basically it. Not Midrash, not Zohar, but it's doable. And Mishnah is very, very doable for everybody. And you could review it because it's very bite-sized pieces. Little chunks of every Mishnah is a world in itself. Anyway, but this is the Ramchal coming now and saying that besides the depth of your learning, which will create different levels of hashpah, There's also the breath of your learning. Of course, you want to cover the whole Bria. And to cover the whole Bria, you want to have Kala Tera Kula. So, that's what he says here. Odin Tzuba Hazraga, different levels, the Chiluk, and the difference is, Lefimash Yitzorech L'Sakim B'Kala Bria, because we're tasked with being the Sakim, the Bria, and the Bria is all, everything, sorry. Torah, the whole Torah, the whole Bria. You have to try. I don't know how much of an obligation this is, it's hard to say. But this is what every person, every man is tasked with. So Yisukan al Yodo, there shouldn't be anything that's not. And again, mitzvahs also, it's very, very complicated. It's much more complicated than I'm doing justice to, because in a certain sense, the Zul Shasharim, which is Ramchal, Vais, and Hagdoma, then any mitzvah you do is a tikkun habriya. Right? But we know we can't do all the mitzvahs. It's not possible for one person to do all the mitzvahs, because all the mitzvahs weren't said to one person. There's no person that can have the 613 mitzvahs. Not possible. Someone for a kohen, someone for a melech, someone for a man, someone for a woman, someone like you can't. It was given to Klal Yisrael. So you combine Klal Yisrael together and they do all the mitzvahs. But again, Torah is above and beyond mitzvahs. Torah is above and beyond, and here it's possible to every individual to cover Kol HaTorah Kula and be misaken in a much deeper way, much more fundamental way, because you're bringing down the word of Hashem right down into the Bria. So we really are tasked. I mean, this is an eternal question that people have. I mean, even now, just Bachrim and Yeshiva, I'm not sure where to put the emphasis of their time and brain power and learning, right? It should do with the style in Litvish yeshivas, at least, for the last century, has been to focus more on depth. Which yeshivas all come out, all decry the lack of breath that Bachrim have, and even when they learn in yeshiva, they don't cover, they don't finish the masechta that they're learning even. Well, they've been screaming about that for the last, since I was a Bachrim in yeshiva, they've been screaming about that. And some yeshivas, very hard to strike a balance because we don't have the intellectual capacity or the zitzflesh or the focus or the concentration or the mesiras nefesh or the amelus to sit for 18 hours a day and learn. Very, very few bachurim do that, even bachurim yeshiva, which is the ideal time of life. The disciple famously writes in a letter that he doesn't really understand. He says, this is what should be going on. He says, you should sleep for 8 hours. Okay? Make sure you sleep for 8 hours. And davening 3 times a day, that should take 2 hours. Takes less, but let's say 2 hours. And then that's 10 hours. And your personal needs, hygiene, exercise, picking up your suits and the cleaners, playing ball, whatever you do, brushing your teeth, another 2 hours a day. So then why isn't everyone learning 12 hours a day? I said 18, but certainly 12. Very few yeshiva bachurim are learning 12 hours a day. It just doesn't work out that way. So I learned that, and they're close to it. You learn the whole Seder, 4 hours, 4, 4, 4, 4, 8, 12. It usually doesn't work out that way. But you do this day after day after day, 12 hours a day, you become a good Torah. It doesn't work out, in my opinion. It doesn't work out for 12 hours a day. And he gave a lot of space for other things with this schedule. Because nobody spends 2 hours a day dominating, and nobody spends 2 hours a day. Nobody sleeps for 8 hours. Nobody spends 2 hours on davening. Nobody spends 2 hours on their other needs. So, this is a perhaps a different yeshivas has sprung up, which addresses, you know, people are different. Ramchal's talking to an ideal state, and he's talking to big people. Most Bokrim usually end up. So the structure is supposed to be to spend the morning on depth, and the afternoon on breath, and the night, whatever. But then it's all Gemara, right? No, very few people are learning Tanakh, very few people are learning Musar, Rashbafa. It's a problem, but we're seeing in the Ramchal that at least the Ramchal, and really the Rav Shulchan Aruch talks about this as well, that it's really essential and fundamentally necessary to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. It was felt, I don't know who decides these things, maybe the elders of Zion in a secret meeting, but it was felt that to keep Bokrim engaged in learning, it's necessary to learn, well, again, you know, different Bokrim, there's different styles, speak to different Bokrim in different ways, but the bulk of literature, yeshivas, and litta, felt that what will keep a Bokrim more engaged is depth. It's interesting, it allows you to theorize, and it keeps, and just to learn. On the other hand, some people are kept engaged by the kiyus. And each has its chesroinus, so to speak. They don't have any chesroinus, but they each manifest themselves with problems, because when you learn what we call bikiyas or shitchiyas or more superficial, and you cover more ground, so you have to make sure you understand what you're learning on a basic level. Nobody wants just higay, what the Ramchal would call higayon. Everybody wants a scholar to a degree, and you want to remember what you learned, and if you know you're from his chazer. On the other hand, the problem built in with depth is A, you're not covering ground, and you could remain in Amoritz in parts of Torah. And also, it's very easy to waste time, thinking and speculating and delving into it deeper and deeper. It's not a measurable type of learning. Another way to say, okay, learn these three blocks for the next week. Yeah, think about this thesis for the next 4 hours. It doesn't work that way. So everybody struggles to do their best, and everybody says that the other person's way is not good. But what we're seeing in the Ramchal, though, I don't know how much attention is paid to the Ramchal, but the Ramchal definitely says that there's an essential obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, not just the depth of the Haskalah, which you talked about paragraph Gimel, but also because, and it's interesting what he ties it to the fact that you're being misaken the whole Bria. So if you're misaken the whole Bria, you want the totality of Torah to be misaken the Bria, because the whole Bria, the whole Torah. And every individual is tasked with that. So that's an interesting connection he makes. Peninsa, so it turns out, he says, Sha'arotze lavel with Neboro Avoda Shlema, in terms of Talmud Torah, Torah Sheyaso b'chol chalokeha, even the parts that are not Nogeya b'zman hazeh, right? Korbanos and Taros, but it's part of Torah, and it's part of the Bria. And through that, we're besaking the Bria, kefiya cholto, to whatever degree he's able to, right? People, you're in yeshiva, then you go to work. You know, the person goes to work, and doesn't have that much time to learn. So that was another aspect of Rav Meir Shapiro's Kiddushin, it was Kiddush, the Dafyomi. I mean, Dafyomi really only took off after Hasbro. That's the truth. From a sociological viewpoint, it captured the masses when Hasbro started making the Gemaras. Until then, not that many people could learn a daf a day. And you go to a shiur and you fall asleep, and it's on every day, and the pace is relentless. Because if they don't skip Tisha B'Av, they don't skip Yom Kippur, they don't skip if you're marrying off a child, it's relentless. And if you like relax, all of a sudden you're four blot behind. Four blot is an awful lot to be behind. So a blot is two sides of a page. So, sociologically, the sociological history of Daf Yomi is that it became the property of the masses, with hundreds of thousands of people learning Daf Yomi. Thanks to Osgro. Not thanks to me, you can believe that, but it's thanks to Osgro. It brought it within the gruel of every single person. And it's written on an intelligent level. So a person feels, it's a sophisticated learning. It's not being fed baby food. And then the Hebrew, it really is very, that's what happened historically. When they had a sea of Mashas and started over Madison Square Garden, and they didn't fill it. And now the last one was in Metha. And I'm only talking in New York, I'm not talking about around the world, because I'm a New Yorker, we're very provincial. Nothing else exists except in New York. Like, is there another part of the world besides New York? There's New York and out of town. and we're not so sure about Staten Island. But the MetLife had 100,000 people there. And I remember, I'm an old man already, so I remember like by the Daf Yomi and the Madison Square Garden where they basically just filled it, but there was no women were there. And someone wrote a letter, I still remember it, to the Jewish Observer, which was the Aguda, which became the main proponent of Daf Yomi, the main pusher, although now it's every segment of, basically every segment of, I don't know if the Lubavitch makes a big deal about Daf Yomi, I don't think so. They have their chitas, that's their own like system of learning, chitas. So they said, like, why shouldn't there be a section for women? We are the ones that push our husbands to learn. We're the ones that send them out. If they're a whole day of work, we send them out to learn. Maybe we'd like to sit with them a little, but it's not nice that there's no women. And they responded, really, they made a place for women since then. We're all women's program. So a letter to the editor sometimes works. But that's what the there's a real diminution of the Doros. You see that in Torah. I mean, again, I'm involved in the world of Torah. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, there really is a resurgence of in-depth, not by, see, the Rav Chaim's talking about each individual, which is like, okay, there's Rav Moshe Feinstein, and there's from Zalman Orbach, and how many fingers do I have left on my hand? Okay, there's a resurgence of learning a resurgence of the learning in depth of every single area of Torah, no matter how esoteric or how not relevant it is, whether it's about korbanos or the whole network of kololim to learn tyrus. I don't know whether tyrus is about Tumah V'Taira, and except for Nida, it's not relevant to us anymore because we're all Tameyim and everything is Tamei. We don't have Parah Aduma, and they used to go to the mikveh every day. Basically, if you touch this, you always touch that. The only remnant left is Nida, not in terms of Tumah V'Taira, but in terms of Isser V'Heter. So that's our only connection to Tyrus. That's the only one that there's a Gemara on is Masechus Nida, and they'll say the Torah is the only Masech that there's Gemara on is Masechus Nida. But there's a resurgence of learning every area in Torah in depth. I dare say that there's been already, there's a Kolel and a Sefer written on every, like if a guy wants to write a Sefer, and he says, I want to tackle an Indian that no one has tackled yet, he better do a good search first, because they will be tackled, you know, maybe, you know, Pidyon Petnach Hamor, don't worry, it's been covered, it's heavy. Everything's been covered, it seems that way at least. You have to search long and hard to find, but you have more aids nowadays, you have the Encyclopedia Talmudis, and you have the internet, which is an amazing resource for learning. You have also Chochma, which is a hard drive you can buy, and that's on it like close to 100,000 Svarim with a search engine. The Bar Ilan search engine, Sifriya, I don't know what the word platform means, it's too much for me already, but it's a platform also of like hundreds of thousands of Svarim. And really, in Eretz Yisrael, there's been a resurgence of learning in depth every area of Torah, which is very gratifying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm sure, and it's part of the resurgence of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. Torah doesn't take a back seat to anyone, it takes a front seat to everyone. And it's gratifying. You know, not only are the Jews returning to Eretz Yisrael, and not only is there such a shefa of Gashmius, and Eretz Yisrael is like the world leader in so many things, in Gashmius, but in Torah also, this Torah, it's amazing. I don't know how many people realize it. Every area of Torah now, there's a kolel, or a network of kolel, exploring and learning in depth. Svarim are being written, areas that haven't been delved into in depth, I can tell you, for close to 2,000 years. I mean, look at the Gospel of Yerushalmi. That in itself is an amazing resurgence of, I mean, Yerushalmi was, no pun intended, Yerushalmi was a closed book for the last 1,000 years. It was very difficult to learn, it was never edited properly, and it's a different dialect of Aramaic, and above and beyond everything else, there's no Rashi. And man, lost without Rashi. Really, you know, appreciate Rashi until you try to win your Shalmi. But we took it on, and it's. There really is, but the Ramchal is talking about every individual. Okay, so you have to grow, okay. But people, and again, and every bacher, every Shiva bacher, really finds himself gravitated towards either more in depth or more in breadth. To do what the Ramchal is saying, to do everything, it's hard. I mean, maybe it could be done. You don't have to be a genius to do it either. But the dedication and the concentration. If you think of 7 days in a week, you know, most yeshivas, Friday and Shabbos, no one's learning. You know, maybe they're learning at home or at chazaring, but you know, Torah is a 7 day a week enterprise. And the way our society is structured, the way yeshivas are structured, really every Friday and Shabbos is in Europe, not that, you know, before World War II. You read the Svarim, you read the storybooks, you read the histories. There was yeshiva Friday and Shabbos. No off days. There was yeshiva. Why shouldn't you have yeshiva Friday and Shabbos? What were they doing? Okay, anyway, but the Ramchal is not giving an inch. He's saying you have to learn in depth, and you have to learn Kala Torah Kula. So if she asks, as much as you're able to,
This to me is very, very fascinating. It's almost as if Chazal saying that from the perspective, this is what I think, I don't know, this is how I understand the Ramchal, from the perspective of my basic obligation, I should be learning in depth. Because that is more understanding and more understanding and more understanding and more understanding. But because my Torah learning is being the Sakyan, the Bria, so I can't be Mazniach, I can't ignore, I have no right to ignore whatever parts of the Bria are not covered by whatever I've chosen to learn, more in depth, more in depth, more in depth. I have a responsibility to be Masakeh the Bria in a way that only Talmud Torah can, and therefore, that he ties together this obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, every chelik of Torah, with the Tikkun HaBria, Shleimus HaBria, bringing Shleimus to the Bria. So obviously those things are connected. So that's why I tell myself, in terms of my personal obligation, it would maybe make more sense to tell me, because as I understand Torah, I'm being more and more dovek Hashem. The deeper the understanding, the more tefachos I have, but I have a responsibility to call it Torah Kula, because I have to be Pesach and call it Bria Kula. That's what it looks like, because he keeps tying those ideas together. And that's why Yom HaChol Zecharon Levracha, the Gemara says, La'olam Yishalesh Odom Yomov Shlish B'Mikra, a third Torah Shemichsav, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Gemara. It's blood of Galenian in a third. Ramchal is using this as a proof that you have to cover Kol HaTorah Kula. Because you see that the Chazal divide up the learning in Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Gemara, therefore ensuring that everything would basically be covered. Like everything else, there are interpretations, there are Rishonim that interpret the Gemara to learn Gemara Bavli. The Rishonim say that. Because Bavli has many psukim in it, and has Mishnayos in it, and really if you sit and you study Talmud Bavli, you're going to be basically fulfilling this statement of Chazal. I don't know of anyone that does this. I never heard of anyone doing it. A third of your time in Mikra, a third of your time in Mishnah, a third of your time in Gemara. Anyway, we are so mechanti Rishonim that say that you get it all in Talmud Bavli. I'm pretty sure about that. U'b'chal zeh kol chelkei ha-Torah, and that will be basically all chelkei ha-Torah. We don't talk about Zohar. What about Zohar? What about, so in the bottom here, Rav Chaim Friedland, in the Perish Derech L'Chaim on Derech Hashem, says that Zohar too, even if you're not going to understand Zohar, so do it b'ofen higayon, if not the derech haskola, but it's something that should be covered. So, I can't say I do that, but according to the Ramchal, it should be done. You should learn Zohar too. And if you can't understand it, you learn it derech higayon, as Rav Chaim Friedland says. So, Chalik Mahem Zman, Noach Yochas Bekulam, Loyaniach Yodom Meach Mehem. Achshir Ha'esek, Sheyasek Bechalecha Mehem, I don't know if he means how much time, because he seems to be taking the Gemara literally a third, a third, a third, so maybe he means how much depth. Every person has to make their own personal decision, has to, not everybody is capable of delving into it with the full depth that it has. His life also. Earn a living, and you have to be home, you have to talk to your children once in a while, maybe your wife once in a while. And things happen, you know. Things happen. Good things happen. Not such good things happen, and they have to be dealt with. You know,
Nobody's living in a vacuum. So maybe the grow lives in a vacuum. Maybe because the didn't live in a vacuum. He created the vacuum. According to Maimon, was in the Maimon Bifnei Atzmo, in a different sefer that he wrote, it's called Derech Chochmo, Ayin Shah. May we move on to paragraph Hey? Yes. I'm sorry, we talked about it a week ago. I have nothing to say. You want me to skip this paragraph?
No.
I have nothing to answer you.
Okay.
You have to deal with it. I told you how. Either by enabling it, or by supporting it, or you certainly have to learn Hashkafa, and you have to learn the halachas that you have to know. Whether you are not tasked with what Rav Chaya is talking about here. You want to have a part of it because it sounds so enticing. So first of all, be aware that anything you don't have to do always sounds enticing. It's called the grass is always greener on the other side. And what we told you, a man and women are one neshama, and you can either enable and support a husband, you can enable and support children, you can enable and support yeshivas. And you have a part of it. The Shulchan Aruch even talks about men who can't learn. They don't have the mental capacity to learn, and that's where Yisrael's will comes from. They should support Torah. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And the reality is that women are not obligated to do any of what we're learning now in Rav Chaya, this level of Torah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If you want to, we'll move quickly and we'll get to the next. Get to everything that men and women are equal again. He says, don't think things are automatically, nothing's automatic. For this to work, for you to have an effect on the Bria, and to bring the Bria to its shlemus, or to you to be Dovek Hashem through this Torah learning, you have conditions. And that are Hineheim. Hayira b'talmud atzmo, v'tikun ha'maisa b'chaleis. Hayira b'talmud atzmo means, it's not Yerushimayim, that's the second half of this Yerushimayim. V'tikun ha'maisa b'chaleis. Living like a Jew, doing what you're supposed to do, not doing what you're not allowed to do. But Hayira b'talmud atzmo means to treat the Torah with reverence. Not to treat it like a math book, and not to treat it like a physics book, but to realize the Kedusha and the connection to Hashem that Torah is. Because, at least on a theoretical level, you can do everything you said till now and treat it like a physics book. Because you can learn physics in breath, and you can learn physics in depth. And you can spend time on every area of physics that there is, and you can spend time on, focusing on one area of physics. So that's why he's now speaking out that to be mashlim the Bria and to be dovek b'Hashem through your learning, which you talked about in the previous paragraphs, is dependent on A, treating the Torah reverentially, with reverence, which, see now, they used to stand when they learned, right? The Gemara says they used to stand when they learned because of respect. And now we sit, but also do Bachrim or men learning treat the Torah reverentially? I don't know. Some people would say don't chew gum when you're learning, right? Don't chew gum, don't make jokes in the middle. If you're learning Torah Hashem, so nowadays it's hard. But that's what he says: to do all these things, all these great things that we're talking about, you have to have a reverence for Torah, a tikkun ma'aseh b'chaleis, and you have to act like a Jew. Right? You can't just be a professor at Hebrew University that doesn't wear a yarmulke and has b'chal Shabbos, chas v'shalom, and you're going to delve into Talmud 101. Not going to work. Doesn't happen that. You're not going to connect to Hashem, you're not going to be Misaka and Debria. It's going to remain Talmud 101, like this Physics 101. Okay, that's about it.